So I want to jump in today and just share a few thoughts that have been stirring in my heart. Just in thinking about, or we've been discussing, increasing in all areas of our life, because the Christ's return is so soon that I think some of us don't really grasp that fully enough. You know, we're busy with life, but his return is imminent. It's soon. And the signs around us tell us that. So we've been sharing that theme, that it's really appropriate to increase. We need to increase in our growth in the Word, increase in spiritual things, increase in our things that we do in the kingdom of God, increase in our giving of time and money and resources, our ability to help support the kingdom of God. And so the increasing is key, and one of the things that I wanted to look at is that you can't increase in anything unless you know that you can, and that you know that you're an overcomer. So I wanted to just touch on knowing or being an overcomer in life, in Christ, or through Christ. But it's through him and our ability to overcome that we increase. So it's without him, we can do nothing. That's what the scripture says in John. We can do nothing without him. So that means I can't increase in anything without him, without his ability, without him working in and through me. I'm just spinning my wheels. But with him and through him, I can do all things. I can increase in wisdom. I can increase. And now more than ever, with all that's going on, we need to walk in a greater measure of the wisdom of God to know what to do, what to say, and not be moved by conditions in this earth. And you know, when we look at, one way we know that the return of Christ is soon is, look at Israel. Look at the fig tree. When we look at Israel, we know that his return is soon. We're beginning to see peace on its borders. Well, that ought to give you a clue. And you're beginning to see alignments of nations that are either going to be for Israel or against. You're beginning to see that. And I don't think it's any mistake that we're beginning to see some of the Arab nations beginning to align themselves. You're going to see changes in that. Don't be moved by it. Don't be moved if you see increase in terrorism. Don't be moved by that. God, always remember this, God loves all people, regardless of what country they live in. He loves all people, because why? He died for all people. But it's those people that are being used by principalities and powers who are operating through the leadership of those countries that won't yield, that have opened themselves up to demon spirits to be used. God's not for that. But he still loves them. If they would yield, if they would yield to God, yield to the Holy Ghost. But we're going to see nations align themselves. You're going to see, what do we see in Daniel? You're seeing all of the Gog, Magog. You're going to see Ethiopia. You're going to see Libya, Syria. You're going to see these nations begin to align themselves against Israel. And you're going to begin to see, you're already seeing it, where the United Arab Emirates, and you're going to begin to see other nations join that alignment to support Israel. So it's a time that we can begin to look up and rejoice, because we know our redemption draweth nigh, and it's soon. So it's a time to get busy. It's a time to, wherever we're going, wherever God has us or plants us, it's walk in love. Share the good news of the gospel. Yeah, just tell people God loves them. And he's not mad at them. He died for them. And he's not holding an account against them. Hallelujah. So one thing that I wanted to share here is that we're overcomers. But let's take a look at Romans chapter 3. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation in verse 24 and 25. And it says, yet God, this is from the Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. It says, yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. And it says, he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So you've got to do what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ. And he took my sins and took them to hell. And he shed his blood. But I like John, this is in the Amplified Classic, John 16:33. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. We're all faced with that. You all deal with that. But it goes on to say, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. Boy, that's positive, isn't it? Certain, confident, undaunted. That means I'm not moved by the things I see. And it says, for I have overcome the world. This is Jesus speaking. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Isn't that wonderful news? So if he conquered it, that makes me what? Yeah, exactly. If he conquered it, that makes me a conqueror. And that's why he said, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. You know, these things, these spiritual truths, don't happen overnight. You know, I like what Brother Copeland shared on words, because we have to constantly speak what we believe. I believe the truth of God's word. And God loves me so much that he died for me, and he raised me up with him and seated me with him in heavenly places with Christ in a place of what? Authority. So I'm not now under the circumstances, I'm above them. I'm seated far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So I am more than a conqueror through him, through Christ. So even though, yes, we all face situations where our minds and circumstances look like the word isn't so. Oh yeah, but we've got to do what? Believe the word, speak the word, because the word, faith comes from the word of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith is substance. And it's this substance that changes this natural realm. Because the unseen changes the seen. So this unseen faith that we have, this substance, it's real. Faith is real, and the substance is real. And we've got to believe that and speak it, and it will change that which we're walking through. It has to. And it takes time. Some things take longer than others. But don't be weary. Don't let go. Because it must change. It must change. I don't care what it is. We have the promise of our master who said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Whatever I'm facing, have faith in him. Not my ability, his ability. Right? Have faith in his ability. You and I can't change something in our own ability, but I can have faith in his ability. It's his ability that begins to work. How do we get his ability to work? Through faith. Through faith. Faith acts like it's so. Faith is an act. Faith is acting like I believe this, and I believe it, and then therefore I do what? I speak it. And that activates the power of God in my life. You know, thinking about just this, using this as an example, just thinking about canceling that meeting, I went home and I said, because it was really weighing heavily. And I said, no, we're not doing that. Now, your head is saying you're crazy. And the reason I say that is because, you know, we don't share all the facts, but the facts were, leading up to that, 3 weeks prior, we didn't get all the ceiling tiles, but there were a lot of just mess in here. And so people were coming in, vacuuming, cleaning, and all of that. How many were in here and were doing that and looked up and said, boy, there's sure a lot of blank ceiling tiles in here. Yeah, a lot of mess in here. So you can go clean all of the pews, but there's still, look up, and it was a mess. And there was other things that had to be tended to. This tunnel here that goes to the back was loaded with mold. I mean, just, you know, if you get humidity and dark and warmth, you got mold. And it was a big job. Well, we can only do so much. You need contractors to come in and help. We've got, you know, people can come in and help. We've got a scaffolding system. We get up, we do that, but you can only do so much in a short period of time. And the folks we were looking to have come in said, "We can't come. We're just backed up. We're building homes. We're doing stuff. I'm sorry." And they wanted to. I said, "Can't." They had commitments. The moment we said yes, the moment we said yes, within a few days, people that said no said yes. That's what I'm talking about. So if you had said no and canceled, you would have never experienced God moving on your behalf. You would have never known. And that's what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, until you do, he said, you will, this is the way he said it to me, you will never know what's possible until you do the impossible. You will never know what's possible until you do the impossible. So the moment we said yes, these contractors said, "Well, we're going to give you six guys for a week." And we went, "Really?" Starting on Monday. And we're like down to like 2 weeks prior. I'm serious. And you're like, "Okay, this is going to be a ride here." And then the other person came in, did the mold remediation. Then we had to get carpeting people in. We had to get people in to do things on the walls and all that. And it was like, boom, 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 fell into place. Right down to the days before. Right down to the days. So I'm talking about that Thursday, that Friday, that Saturday. And then you're rolling in here Sunday morning going, "We're running. We're running." And the person that gets the glory is God. He gets the glory because he made it work because you said yes. Hallelujah. So he did what? He deprived the devil of the power to harm us and conquered it for us. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:12 says, "Always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." And then in verse 20 of that chapter, and it says, "And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were enemies, his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions." Verse 22, "Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." So you need to have your heart embrace that. You know what that means to me? When the scripture tells me that I stand before him blameless without a single fault, that means to me there's no evidence. There is absolutely no evidence of a fault or sin that he has a record of against you. Now, you may miss it, but the moment you ask him for forgiveness, you're cleansed. And you stand before him without a fault, blameless. This isn't how you feel or what your mind thinks. This is the word of God. So the word says that we stand in his presence, holy and blameless. 1 John 1:5, in the Passion Translation, it says, "This is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But," verse 7, "but if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin." You know what this means to me? This goes back to when we say we walk in the light. This says here, if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. How are we able to share unbroken fellowship? Walking in the love of God. Walking in love with one another. When we walk in love towards one another, we're walking in the light. And we share unbroken fellowship. And what does it say? And the blood of Jesus, his son, continually, say continually cleanses us from all sin. See, this is really the crux of overcoming, and walking as an overcomer is walking in the love of God, walking in the light of God. You will overcome everything that you face, walking in his love, walking in the light. Hallelujah. So this is what the scripture says, 1 John, in the Passion Translation, 1 John 5:4, it says, "You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world." So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are conquerors. We have to have that mind renewal, constantly renewing. This is something that, as we shared, does not happen overnight. It's constantly speaking the word of God. It's talking the word, speaking the word. You know, you've heard these examples. Spiritual growth is similar to natural growth in some ways. You didn't grow up overnight. Some of us wanted to when we were young. Why can't I be old over here, you know? I want to be an adult. Then when you got an adult, you're like, eh, I want to just be a child again. And some of them try to be. And act like fools. But the point is that you didn't grow up spiritually, and you're not going to grow up spiritually the same way and as quickly as you grew up naturally. It takes time. Takes effort. It takes, how did you build your body? You exercised, you did things. You just didn't sit, you didn't become a couch potato. You got up, you worked, you exercised, You know, growing up, you build your muscles up, you build yourself up physically, you built yourself up mentally, you studied, you educated yourself, right? So there's things that you did, right? Same thing spiritually. So you cannot get weary in pursuing spiritual things. You cannot. Because you will reap what you sow. So for us, you know, there's a scripture that for me is in Romans chapter 5. And let's look at this in the Passion Translation. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Talks about reigning in life. You know, if you reign in life, think about that. What does that make you? An overcomer, doesn't it? If you reign in something, that means you overcome it. You're an overcomer. So Romans chapter 5, verse 17, this is in the Passion Translation, says, "Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But," I like that, "but now, how much more are we held in what? The grip of grace." Oh boy, I like that. We're held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom. Oh boy, I like that. "Through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah." So we've been made righteous. We've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And we reign in life through him. Isn't that wonderful news? So you need to, regardless of what you're walking through and what you've experienced, it may damage the flesh or have damaged the soul, but the soul can be repaired, can it? The soul can be repaired by the renewing and the power of the Word of God, that I can walk free, not damaged by the things that the devil has done. I can walk a free person. I can walk in this, as it says, regal freedom. And I like what 1 Peter 2:9 in the King James, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation," a what? "A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people, that you should show forth," what? "The praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So God has something to say about us, doesn't he? He said, "You are somebody. You're my child." And I like what the Passion Translation says in this verse. It says, "But you are God's chosen treasure." Oh, we're his treasure. "Priests who are kings." "A spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light." That's the God we love. "And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast." See, we're talking about getting involved in mediums. Well, we're a broadcaster. You didn't know that, did you? It says right here, "He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world." You know, you may not have a what you call a ministry. All of us are ministers of the gospel. We're to broadcast the good news. But I'll tell you, when you begin to know that you are royalty, when you begin to know that you are a royal priesthood, set apart for him, and we make ourselves available. See, this is what keeps been on my mind, is that in order to do great things for God, you've got to know that you are great. You've got to know that you are his child. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. He has no hold on you, mentally or physically. He's got no hold. His power has been destroyed through the power of Christ. And that power is in me and is released in me. How is it released? How is it activated? It's through my faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My faith releases his power. So when you walk through earth, downtrodden, you know, how am I going to get through this? Oh, woe is me. That's not going to release his power in your circumstance. Yes, it may hurt. Yes, it may be hard. Yes, it may be opposing everything you're trying to do. But I'm telling you, faith will move the mountain. Faith will move it. Faith will change it. And my faith in God will activate, release his power into the circumstance and change it. It will turn. You know, sometimes, and I say it, sometimes when you look at society and you look at what's going on in society, God is going to hold us accountable. He's going to hold us accountable for what's going on in this society. And you may say, well, how is that so? He's giving you, just think about this. Think about, I'm just thinking about this now. Think about the parable of the talents. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the name of Jesus? What did you do with the name of Jesus? What did you do with the blood? What did you do with my name? All power is invested in that name. All power is invested in what? The Word. The Word cannot fail. It cannot fail. Think about that. The Word can't fail. What does it say in Luke 1:37 when the angel spoke to Mary? What did he say? Said, not, this is in the Passion Translation, not one promise from God is empty of power. For nothing is impossible with God. You know, back in the 70s, before there were some things that happened in our country, Jesus appeared, or he spoke to Brother Hagin, and he said to him, I want you to, he showed him a vision of three frogs coming up out of the Atlantic Ocean. And he said, these frogs, this was in a vision, he saw these frogs jump up and come out of the Atlantic, and he said they leaped up the East Coast and they ran and they went into Washington. And the Lord told him to go back, and he said, I want you to pray about this. And he said he did, but he didn't continue as much as he should have. And the Lord said to him, I'm holding you accountable for what I told you to do and for the conditions that have been wrought on this country. So God has given the church, he's put the church in the earth to spread the gospel, to break the power of the hold of the devil. His power's been broken, but he's the God of this world. So we can't be asleep. We've got to know that you're an overcomer. You've got to walk like it. You've got to think like it. And I remember years ago, back in the 80s, when I was going to some of the Kenneth Copeland conventions and in various places, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Fort Worth, and different places. And I remember at that time, Brother Copeland had T.L. Osborne a few times to minister. And I remember when he got on, I met him in the elevator. He was a very short man, flaming bright red beard and hair. And it was interesting. He said, when I go to the foreign nations, when I get off the plane, he said, when I exit the plane, this is a private plane, when I get off the plane, he said, I come down that gangplank, and he said, I say, royalty has just arrived. He thought royalty. He thought himself to be royal because he is, and we are. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased person. You're purchased with the blood of Jesus. And don't let the thoughts and the world, again, remember, the world and the world system is going to try to say something different than what the word says. The word says you are an overcomer. You're royalty. You're purchased of him. And you need to think that way and talk that way. Don't talk, oh, woe is me, how are we going to make it? Talk like a king. Talk like a person who's purchased by the blood of Jesus. Because if we don't, I'll just say this, you know, everything has conditions. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. But you can walk by sight, it's up to you. And be defeated. And walk like a beggar. Walk like you're a person that doesn't know Christ. So it's up to us. And God's going to hold us accountable. Why did you not walk like I said you were? Why didn't you talk like I say you are? And so for us, yeah, we make mistakes. But correct it, fix it, begin to talk, begin to talk. What do we do? What do parents do with their children? Do they let their children walk around the house going, I don't know, I can't make it. No, you could. You'd say, no, we don't talk like that. We don't talk like that. You can do anything. Just in the natural, we coach our children to talk positive, don't we? Unless you're just a bozo. You want the best for your children, don't you? So you talk like that, don't you? You think like that. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Because you, what do you? You love your children. And you want the best for your children. God loves us. He loves us. And he died and gave us his best so that we could walk in this earth, not in our own ability, but with Christ's ability. We're overcomers in this life. And in order for us to increase and keep increasing and keep increasing, you're going to have to think like this. You're going to have to talk like this. Because when you do, it'll begin to change you. You'll say, oh, no, we're going to make this. We're going to do this. We're going to overcome. We're going to achieve this. And I believe God has raised this ministry up and others to speak this truth. I do believe that. So we are to walk. You know, I think about this here when we talk about the cross and we talk about the blood. Look at this here in Galatians 3:13 in the Passion Translation. Galatians 3:13 in the Passion. It says, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. Now listen to this. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who was hung upon a tree is cursed. He absorbed the curse completely for me. So there's no reason for any of us to allow any of the curse to remain in our lives. And we should be walking in this earth, sharing. Faith is voice activated. Remember that. Faith is voice activated. Faith is, it's not like, I got faith. Faith, if you believe, you speak. Faith works by love. Faith, love can't fail. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 13 says? These three things remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. Love can't fail because God is love, and love can't fail. God can't fail. And if faith works by love, faith can't fail either. If we believe and act like it's so, and keep speaking the word of God, walk in love, faith can't fail. And how do we know that? Because Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you know, you say, well, faith can fail. How can faith fail? Because Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, whosoever, that means us, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And do what? And shall not doubt in their heart, but shall what? Believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That sounds like me. You shall have whatsoever you say. That sounds like it can't fail. It can't fail. Faith can't fail. But what can short circuit it? Doubt. Doubt can short circuit it. So faith can't fail. And love can't fail. We are overcomers because he overcame. Hallelujah. So we're brand new. We're brand new creatures in Christ. Now let's just close with these two scriptures here. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. In the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 31, it says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer... See, now, I want you to look at this. That's why I like this particular scripture. Translation. Verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from the love of Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? What's the answer? No. So what else does it say? Verse 36, as the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. Verse 37, no, despite all these things, despite all this stuff that we walk through in life, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, say nothing, 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 nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Not tribulation, not stuff, not problems, not lack, not sickness. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And in all of that, we are more than conquerors. Even in all of that, we're more than conquerors through him. And we need to remind ourselves and think, I am a conqueror. I am a victor. I lack nothing. I don't lack for wisdom. I don't lack for food. I don't lack for clothing. I don't lack for housing. I don't lack for transportation. I lack nothing. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever I've sown shall reap, and I'll produce a harvest. Because if you start questioning one thing, then you might as well question other parts of the Word of God. If you start to question, well, I don't know, maybe it just wasn't meant to be. Well, then you might as well start questioning other things. And you know that's not so. Excuse me. Glory to God. So God is a good God. When we became a new creature in Christ, we became a new creature. Every evidence, every trace of evidence in us of our old man was removed. In our spirit now. And we need to talk like that. Talk like an overcomer. Think like an overcomer. You know, I will say this. Did you ever think about this? This thought crossed my mind years ago. People that have a lot of money, and I'm talking material, let's maybe not money, but just material goods, right? Do they ever worry about that? They may want more. They may be greedy and want more. But do they ever worry about lacking anything? No, it's never. There are usually people that have a lot, usually find ways to give, right? But Christ has given us his name, his power. He's given us all things through Christ. So why are we worried? Why do we worry about certain things? It doesn't mean that you don't speak to receive. God already knows you need those. What does the scripture say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what does that really tell you? That tells you that if you are about his business and you're in his things and his kingdom, that he will add them to you. And we need not worry and be concerned how I'm going to do this. Listen to his leading. Listen to his spirit. He will lead and guide you. He'll give you the wisdom on what to do, how to invest your money, how to save your money, how to spend your money. And he will add to that such as you need. But we need to, I think sometimes people think that they're just going to receive, they're going to receive things in the natural realm just because they don't have to speak or say anything. And it doesn't work that way. You're going to have to sow to reap. So that means you're going to have to speak something because you believe in order to reap something. And the same principles apply, whether you're sowing your time, your money, you're sowing your love, sowing your kindness, you're going to have to sow it to reap. And those principles work. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So the more you increase your words in the area of life, you'll eat the fruit of it. You'll be blessed. And you could be a Christian speaking death, and you'll still eat the fruit of it. You shouldn't have to. But in order for us to increase, to reach out and do more, we're going to have to watch what we say. We're going to have to watch our thinking, because the devil's pulling the stops out. I mean, if you watch this, look at this, you look at this, and you feed on this, you need to watch it. You need to think about it, because the more you take in through the eye gate and the ear gate, you get that down in here, you may not notice it right away. But if you keep planting seed that's corruptible, you're going to end up with a corruptible crop. And none of us want that. No, nobody sitting here in their right mind wants a corruptible crop. But you will reap a corruptible crop if you let corruptible seed get in, and then the more you let it get in, it begins to cause fear and doubt. You know, all of us, just think about this. Every one of us in here has had to deal with some kind of fear, some kind of doubt, every one of us sitting in here. You didn't get to that place of doubting or fearing something overnight. You had to do what? You had to keep thinking about it. You had to keep, you know, there was something kept it in front of you. And you kept thinking about it, and thinking about it, and thinking about it. And then you kept talking about it. And then over time, you began to doubt or fear. So it didn't happen. You got a crop. Nobody in here wants to say, yeah, I want to fear that. What? Why would you do that? But you began to let something take your time and attention. And so the same thing goes true with spiritual things. You may not believe something right away, but in order to reap a harvest of faith in a particular area, you're going to have to start planting some seeds. How do you do that? Every day, every day, every day. So how does one walk in a place of knowing their royalty? How does one walk in a place of knowing, I'm a king, I'm a priest unto God, I'm separated for his purpose? If you spend all of your time thinking about worldly stuff, you'll never get there. You will never get there. I'm just telling you the truth. You'll never get there because you're going to have your thinking in the world. You're going to be thinking about worldly things. What does the scripture say in Romans? To be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. I may not mean physical death, but it's death to this thinking. Death thinking. So in order for us to walk and know that we're overcomers, you got to keep planting that in you. Keep speaking it. Keep speaking it. Keep planting it. And over time, you're going to walk like you are an overcomer. And nothing, 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 nothing will defeat you. Nothing. Not one thing. It won't defeat you when you're confronted with it. You'll say, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Just like Brother Hagin, when you read the stories, we go, oh, that's nice. When somebody's laying in bed and he said at 1 a.m, death gripped my body. How many of us would have dialed 911? Oh my God, fear. Fear grips you. But for him, he had rehearsed it so much that he knew who he was in Christ. He knew that the devil was defeated. He knew that death was under the feet of the name of Jesus. So what did he do? He said, I pulled the covers over my head and I began to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. And he said, the devil said, what are you laughing? He said, I'm laughing at you. How many would laugh when death gripped your body? But that doesn't come overnight. That doesn't happen overnight. That takes time praying in the Holy Ghost, time in spiritual things. And I'm only saying this not to get on anybody's toes at all. It means all of us, in order to increase, in order to walk and reign in life, we've got to constantly keep feeding on the Word of God. Keep growing in the things of God. And you will walk like kings. You will walk like royalty. You will walk and overcome every single obstacle in life. And how do I know that? Because when you're faced with it, the wisdom of God will just flutter up in your mind. You'll say, I know what to do. I know what to do. I know where to go. I know how to handle this. And it won't be you. It'll be the wisdom of God rising up in you, knowing what to do. The world doesn't know. They said they don't know. They walk in darkness. So all the troubles and tribulations, they're whining and crying, oh, what are we going to do? You'll know what to do. You'll know how to live, how to conduct yourself. You'll walk as kings and royalty. His special people set aside because he loves us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God loves us. And neither death, nor life, nor principalities, demons, tribulation, trial, will separate us from the love of God. And it's this love that purchased us and redeemed us and set us up high above demons and devils and death and sickness and disease, set us up above all of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for making us new creatures. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the name. Thank you for restoring us and making us righteous. Thank you, Father, that we're lights shining brightly in this earth. And we thank you and we claim, Father, we call in this whole eastern seaboard, this whole area where we live. We call these people into the kingdom of God. And Father, we thank you that as we shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, we thank you, Father, that when we shine bright, it'll be like a bug's coming to the light, coming to the light, coming to the light, coming to the light. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, Brother Copeland shared something like this prophecy through a prophecy at the dedication service here in 1985. He said, this place will shine so bright. He said, what are you doing in this small place? See, many, I go back and look at, he said that this was a mighty church be here. And he said, many think that my church in Seoul, Korea is a large, mighty church. He said, I'll do that here if you'll let me. And he said, don't seek the biggest church, just seek me. Seek Jesus. Seek the light. Seek the lover of our souls. And when we do, we'll walk in fellowship, we'll walk in love, and the light will shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and people will come from all over because of the light, because of the love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what's missing in the world, isn't it? It's what Matthew 24 says. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Glory to God. Well, before we unhook and we leave, let's just, for those that may be watching, those that are here, we always provide an opportunity to come to know this loving Savior that loves us so much, died and sent his Son here. And those that may be here that don't know him, most do, but you may know him, but maybe you've stepped away from him and you need to recommit your life to him in a deeper, greater way. And those that don't know him, you want to, this is your opportunity. So let's make a profession of faith. It's believing that he died for us, believing that Jesus is the Christ. He took our sins and sicknesses, took them to hell, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. If you believe that in your heart and speak that with your mouth, it says you'll be saved. Very simple. Believing in the heart, speaking with the mouth. That's the condition. So let's say this in our hearts, in our mouths, or from our hearts. Father God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, and you sent him to this earth for fallen mankind, and you sent him here in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Savior of the world. He is my Savior, and I receive him now. I believe he took my sins, he took them to hell, and when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead and seated with him in heavenly places. And Father, I thank you now that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, and you've made me a brand new creature. I believe that I am now saved in Jesus' name. If you said that simple prayer, you don't ever recall speaking that, because it's not just believing in your heart. You know, the scripture says the devils believe and are still damned. So you can believe, but when you believe and speak, then you've become a brand new creature. So get in touch with us. Let us know today that you did that for the first time. We want to rejoice with you. Send some free information to you. So either send us an email or write us and let us know, and we'll mail you some or email you some information as to who you've become in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God.